Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
Hello, everyone. This is Brooks Jensen, and I'm going to do something a little different today in the podcast. What you're about to hear is an interview with Kevin Raber, where we discuss a new project of his that we've published, a PDF called Rust. This is being published as Lenswork Bonus Edition number 10. It was actually released on October 1st, 2024. And that PDF is available to all of you who are subscribers to Lenswork or who are members of Lenswork Online. We started this Lenswork Bonus Edition series on January 1st, 2024. We publish a new PDF each month, available on the first of every month, exclusively as a downloadable free PDF for all print subscribers and members of Lenswork Online. For those of you who aren't a member of Lenswork Online or a print subscriber, you're really missing a terrific publication. We've done 10 of them now, and like I say, this latest one with Kevin Raber, photographing a fascinating subject. The title of his project is Rust. And when I first talked to Kevin about publishing this as a Lenswork bonus edition, I was a little skeptical because I wasn't sure how photogenic rust could be. But Kevin demonstrates in this project, I think, a fantastic point, which is you can take almost anything and look at it deeply enough and long enough and work at it long enough, you'll find an interesting aesthetic hidden therein. And the project is fantastic. Here's a little 15-minute interview I did with Kevin when I visited him at his home in Indianapolis, out on his back deck with the fountain bubbling in the background. Lovely day. He's a terrific photographer. And for those of you who have downloaded the PDF for October and seen his project Rust, I'm sure this will be a very interesting insight into what he's doing, why he's doing it, what his motivations were, how he was doing it. It's always a pleasure to interview someone who's so articulate and has the ability to talk about their photography with such insight. So here's my interview with Kevin Raber, recorded on September 26th, 2024. I'm here today to talk about Lenswork Bonus Edition number 10, which is going to be published on October 1st in 2024 with a terrific photographer who I'm sure most of you know, but if you don't, you're in for a thrill, and that's Kevin Raber. Welcome, Kevin.
Thanks, Brooks. It was really good to be here, you know?
Kevin has done a fascinating body of work that I think offers not only some wonderful images to look at and some lessons to learn, but a particularly sticky lesson to learn is what I want to talk about today. Kevin has photographed rust, which is not an easy thing to photograph. If any of you have tried to photograph rust, you know how complicated and difficult it is. But on top of that, then he's done, what did you say, 10,000 images?
Or at least 10,000 images in there. Yes.
There's 10,000 images of rust that are identified in his Lightroom catalog. How do you deal with a project that starts with 10,000 potential candidates? And that's not a problem that all of us photographers have faced. 10,000 is a huge number, but I bet you almost everybody has faced the problem of having 100 or 200 or 300. Now just imagine multiplying that up. How do you deal with a project that has way more images than you can use? So let's start with that, Kevin. When you set out to do this work, did you set out to make 10,000 images, or
no,
did you just start photographing and have fun?
It was never a project of quantity as much as was one of many projects that I was working with at the time. And at one particular point, and must have been 10 or more years ago, I just came across this rusty old tank, and it had these rusty old bolts, and I just saw pieces and parts that looked like they would be fun. So I just said, all right, I'm going to add this to my list. And I have ongoing project lists that Art Wolf inspired me on this one. So I would photograph with Art Wolf many times, and he would be working on five or six books many, many years in advance, but he was working on them. And, you know, he saw something, he would shoot it. Well, the same thing with me. If I was traveling, and I traveled quite a bit from pole to pole and east and west, I would come across rusty items. Mm-hmm. And they would, you know, I have rusty tanks, literally tanks that were used for exploration in the Antarctica with rotary engines in them, but just left the rust on top of rocks. Mm-hmm. Bolts, tanks, whale oil tanks, ships. It became very obvious to me very quick that there's a lot of rust out there. And I just never really noticed it before. It was something I ignored. But now I was focused. And while I now have 10,000 some odd images of rust collected from many, many trips and many, many years, it wasn't something I started out to do anything with other than to eventually try to narrow it down and, you know, look at something different than anybody else was looking at, and that was the rust. And it really is pretty remarkable.
So I've talked for years about the idea of doing what I characterize as gathering assets. You're just out in the world, you get fascinated by something, you shoot, and then you wake up one day and say, my God, I've got a lot of those.
Yeah.
So at some point you said, I need to do something with this. What were the first steps that you did? Was it to gather them all together into a Lightroom collection, or did you start processing them? How did you begin the process?
It was a process. As you saw with my Lightroom setup, obviously I've got many, many years and I think 600,000 images that I at least have cataloged in Lightroom. And I spent a weekend one year and just started going through each of the catalogs and started looking for rust. And I would mark those items, and then eventually I formed a collection where I would drag them over to a collection. And then, you know, after a weekend, all of a sudden I looked at the size of the collection and it was like over 8,000 images. And I'm going, my God, where did I come up with that much rust? And it was amazing what I had it there. Now, then the question comes down, and I think was something that, how am I going to explore or talk about rust? You can look at rust as a rusty side of a ship. You could look at rust as a rusty deteriorating bolt. So you can look at it from the small side to the big side. And, you know, how do I classify it? I have rusty tools. I've got, you know, rusty springs, rusty tires, tire rims and things. There's just rust everywhere. But I think what more than anything else drew me to rust is the fact that there was a story there. And one of the things that I like to look at, specifically as we look, you know, and I look at things that are old buildings, old walls, peeling paint, deterioration. I love a lot of that kind of stuff because you find an abstract, but there's a story to be told there. At one time, that rust was shiny, or that rust was painted. That rust was being used and, you know, looked pristine. And neglect, such as in buildings that are, you know, abandoned, or rooms that are abandoned, or paint that's peeling off and things, you know, nature takes its toll. Mm-hmm. And it began to, you know, change what was there to this interesting orange color and a variation of the oranges and reds that make up rust.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it was really cool, and specifically in the Arctic regions. Arctic regions somehow or rather have really nice rust. The Antarctica and the polar circle, Svalbard and Greenland, Norway, and parts of Iceland even. So, you know, we just started looking at rust many different ways. And
so I'm hearing sort of a dual strategy. The first was starting to think about categories, tools, buildings, etc. And the second was you were starting to think about processing, about color, about abstracts, etc. And that started to organize you from 8,000 down to what eventually ended up to be about 800.
Yeah, so it's still way too many. But I think if I started looking at rust, I think the thing that fascinates me most about rust eventually was trying to find things where they were rusty, but you couldn't tell what they were. What I found was abstracts of rust were where I started really finding a lot of joy. I could photograph a rusty pipe, a rusty chimney, a rusty ladder, and you can identify what those were. But you know, if I came across the side of a rusty ship that has been sitting at anchor for 100 years, and the rust is peeling and peeling off at different rates, and you know, beginning to actually what was once flat begin to make a 3D kind of design to it, almost brushstroke in its own way, and photograph that up close and find that there's algae growing in it, it became sort of unidentifiable what it was, but you could literally tell it was rust. You just really couldn't tell what it was part of as rust. And that became really interesting. And then I found, you know, those things would also come in shapes and like brush strokes and other things along the way. And it would be fun to maybe do three editions of rust, literal to the abstract, and, you know, be able to categorize these 800 and 900 images or whatever into something different. You know, in Greenland, we on the last trip in August, we visited an abandoned Air Force base in a fjord system. And there must have been thousands upon thousands of empty 55-gallon drums. Now, this Air Force base was a stopping station for airplanes coming from America to the European theater during World War II. And it was, you'd fly down this fjord system, it was kind of a secret base, and you'd land and get more fuel, fix the engines or anything that needed to be fixed, and one day when the war is over, they just left. And they left trucks, and they left buildings, and many, many, many 55-gallon tanks that rolled into the pristine creeks and rivers, and, you know, literally just dotted the whole landscape. And now all of a sudden, you know, I've got literal rust of ladders, I've got the abstract rust, but now I've got rust in the landscape and how man put it there and how rust is in the landscape and how nature as landscape is taking over and deteriorating the rust, and maybe eventually thousands of years from now, there won't be any rust left. But I find very odd and otherworldly views when I see this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's just attracted me, and just one of the many things that attracts me, but lately rust has been pretty cool.
And when people look at this work and they've completed taking a look at all the images that we're including, for example, in Lensworth bonus editions, what do you want them to walk away with?
I kind of want them to walk away with a little bit more ability to see what's around them. And whether it's rust or peeling paint or, you know, a flower, you know, a lot of this began because while I would walk by the rust, I didn't realize that rust could be telling its own story. So I think it's, if anything, be more cognizant of whether it's rust or the bark of a tree or the brilliant colors of a flower, or just, you know, the patterns of pebbles on a beach. I think the whole thing has helped me become more aware of many other things that have equal beauty that we kind of ignore every day. So, I mean, I think that's kind of what it has turned out to be. Now, rust until the day I die will be a never-ending project.
And sure.
It's just one of those obsessions I now have. But, and it is an obsession now that I think about it. It's gotten to be an obsession. Because people just they call me a rustaholic. And, you know, it's kind of fitting. It's like, oh, God, Raymond just wants to go wherever there's rust. And people are enjoying that. You can go to junkyards where old cars are. You can go to railroad yards where old railroads are. I have one picture where it's an old railroad car where it's just rusting away, and there's this plant growing out of the dust of the rust. Mm-hmm. Kind of like, you know, what a statement. You've got the rust, and you've got this plant growing out of what the remnants of the rust. And so nature, you know, finds its own way to, you know, you can't defeat nature, I guess, is part of it.
And even though it may not be the most beautiful thing, you can make a beautiful photograph of it because of the patterns, because of the abstracts, because of the meaning, because of the metaphor. Rustaholic, I like that.
And it's, I think, you know, as photographers, we strive to try to be original. As landscape photographers, all too often we go where other landscape photographers have been, where other landscape photographers have put their tripods. You know, one of the reasons why I'm always attracted to the Arctic areas is because it's a dynamic landscape. Well, you can find a beautiful landscape, in 6 months that landscape's going to melt or freeze over and be a changed landscape. And I think the same thing when I photograph a lot of the rust. What I photograph, a rusty wrench today, if I came back to that wrench a year from now, it might be moved, but it might be more rusty. It might be different color. It might be different pitted. It's a dynamic thing that we're watching here, the deterioration of, you know, something made of steel and iron. It's going to change. So not everybody can photograph the same thing. It's not going to mean the same thing. You know, it's not going to be the, you know, Yosemite Valley, where everybody wants to get that one picture. Now, I don't know how many people are going to run around and try to take the same rusty ladder or the rusty rim or the rusty silo, but, you know, it's rust. And it's, you know, a singular way, in my opinion, and I get a shot that's mine and not duplicated or a copy of something somebody else has done. Yeah. That's an original.
Great. Well, let's let the pictures talk
themselves. So.
And hopefully you'll keep photographing and we'll see more in the future.
I will, and I appreciate it. I can't thank you enough for the inspiration over the years that you've given me, because a lot of these things wouldn't take place if, you know, I didn't learn about projects and, you know, doing these kind of things through your publication and inspiration and your daily talks and everything else. It's just my enthusiasm and love for photography is just never going to go away.
And we would be remiss if we didn't give people a chance to look at more at your websites.
Yeah, so I've got several websites. PhotoPXL is my website where I help other photographers learn about photography. And
that's PhotoPXL.com.
Yes. And then I have the Rock Harbor Workshops is where I take photographers to unique locations. And you can guarantee that most likely if there's a rusty spot, we're going to visit it on one of those workshops. And then I have Raber Eyes, which is spelled E-Y-E-S, which is my storefront website where you can buy my fine art photography. And then I have KevinRaber.com, which has gone kind of as a blog for 20 years with images that are my favorite images, much like what we're talking about here. So, you know, every week or so when I find a time, I put up a new image on KevinRaber.com and a little short story to go with it. So it's not so much a gallery as much as it is a dialogue on my mind.
Okay. Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, Bert.
Appreciate
it very much, man. Thank you for doing this for me. Appreciate it.
Copyright 2024, Lenswork Publishing.